As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases, and you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you should know you should check your draft stats first before you put them on your fantasy team. Or you should definitely check the expiration date on that can of bean dip you picked up at the gas station first before you dive in. Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. See Allstate.com for details. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show.
This is as big a risk as you can take. No head coaching experience.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What's up, Mark?
I want to talk about our new Dallas Cowboy coach.
I'm really good with X's and O's, but I'm great with people.
I think he deserves a shot because,
Earlier on the show, 2025 Baseball Hall of Fame inductee, CC Sabathia, Chiefs head coach, Andy Reid. Still to come, NFL Network insider, Tom Pelissero. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's correct. I can confirm that. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air here on the Infinity Sports Network. 120 terrestrial radio stations. We greatly appreciate every last one of them. Cherish the ability to talk to you through your ear gate that way, or SiriusXM Channel 375, or the Odyssey app, or all 3 hours of our podcast. All of our podcasts can be checked out through the Cumulus Podcast Network. Overreaction Monday is still quite germane. Not much has changed from the insanity of Championship Sunday. Pete Carroll and Marshall Faulk were the guests on our latest episode of What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. They've got one teed up in advance of Super Bowl 59. Their guest, Brent Musburger. We're going to check out with Brent. Remember when Brent was on our show last year in Vegas?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
For all the Tostitos, baby.
There
you go. There you go. And your latest episode of No Contest Wrestling is out there as well. And you and O'Shea Jackson Jr. are going to Indianapolis this weekend.
Yes, sir. Leaving
Royal
right
Rumble.
After the show.
Is it the Royal Rumble or just Royal Rumble?
I think it's just Royal Rumble.
Mm.
You know? But we're going there for WWE 2K25, the release of the video game, and we're going to, you know, set up shop there.
Well, that's unfortunate because I know O'Shea doesn't really like video games. Or wrestling. It's really odd that he'd want to go.
It's almost like this was made to happen.
Sort of like Den of Thieves 3.
Right, which I'm going to be in. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Will you let me know? is that right?
Yeah, he told me about a month ago. Well, he goes, when 3 gets greenlit, he goes, you're going to be in it. I'm like, listen, I don't care if I'm a barista, man number one, someone in an elevator. Just, get me in there.
So, how many movies have you been in?
Only like 4.
Only 4.
Fantastic.
I looked at an old, we were talking about Facebook statuses yesterday and how that was the day you and I met.
Yeah.
And I posted another one. I was like, for someone who didn't plan on being on TV, I've sure been on TV a lot. That was before this job, obviously. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 4 or 5 movies, I think.
Okay. Very good.
Also, I'm going to be in that movie too. I'm just giving O'Shea a heads up.
Really?
Yeah. I'm coming to set that day.
But it's pretty cool that you're going to be at Royal Rumble this weekend in Indianapolis. You're leaving tonight, right? You're taking off tonight?
Yeah, I'm leaving right after the show.
Yeah, because you're going to start recording episodes of No Contest Wrestling tomorrow from there,
right? Yeah, we're going to be set up shop at the release party, Roman Reigns and the Bloodline. They're on the cover, so hopefully we get to talk to him.
Okay, great.
Your guy Paul Heyman, some other good people.
Oh, great.
So yeah, it'll
fantastic.
It'll be awesome.
And then you'll drop the episode on Wednesday yeah. when we're at Super Bowl.
See,
starting all
out.
Three of our shows next week from the Super Bowl experience.
Love it.
You know, so it's busy around these parts, Rich, and
yeah,
I love it.
And before we leave today, we'll tell you who our guests are for next week. Scheduled to appear.
Scheduled.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Alan Dallas back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Alan?
Gentlemen, excellent show as always.
Thank
Jay
you.
Belly, you're really stepping it up for Mike.
Hey. Thanks.
Hey, Brockman, do you feel like Warden Norton at all today? You know, no, Warden Norton.
He has no idea. He has no idea.
Is that like a super old comedic reference?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, because Richard is doing his best Andy Dufresne to be very obtuse, you've noticed. And it's excellent. I love it. I love it to death. I mean, he's just very salty. Mets town, this, the Giants thing. That's what prompted me to call up. He brings up these Giants again. Who cares? Saquon Barkley, you know. I mean, it's just very, I don't know. I mean, I love it. I love the passion.
Doesn't sound like you love it, Al.
It does not seem that way, Al.
Don't say something that you don't mean. Just come straight through the phone here and start to
say
with your chest, Al. What, you got a problem that I bring up the Giants every time Saquon runs generationally for the Eagles, and when the Giants gave him up for nothing and the Eagles are back in the Super Bowl and there's no way they'd be there without Saquon, Al?
It doesn't bother me anymore.
Really?
You know, listen, it is what it is. Like I told, what would we be? Five wins? We would have been in a worse position if we kept him, right? I mean, it is what it is, you know? But, you know, you just went after the Mets a little bit. You're going, you know, I like it. You know, it's a big week for you guys. You're going to the Super Bowl. It's all good.
Listen, okay? You're like these guys who I know from Ohio State who are on a text chain with them. One of them might be, you know, might rhyme with Schmalbert Schmier, okay? Yeah. Where out of nowhere, I'll get texts, certainly whatever Connor Stallions is up to, whatever. And I'm like, listen, I'm just going about my business. You're the one texting me this garbage that I have no interest in actually entertaining here. You know, seriously, it is garbage. It's all garbage because the whole Connor Stallions thing, from the Michigan State game on, he was gone, ripped out root and branch, and every opponent that we had, if you thought that we were going to have a leg up on you still, had every opportunity to switch things up, and we beat everybody's ass from there all the way to the podium. And so I'm like saying that back to them, and then I'll get some texts back from them, like a photograph of Ryan Day lifting up a trophy. I'm like, congratulations. I do not begrudge that of you. You're the one who came to me. And the Mets, I have no problem with the Mets. Congratulations on getting Juan Soto. I reserved judgment on losing Soto until I saw how the Yankees were going to supplement. And I really like the way that they've supplemented. It was just Soto and AJ Minter, okay, who might be the second most significant AJ in town since Burnett, unless he does anything to actually, wait a minute, win a World Series like Burnett was part of. And he's the turn on to Mets town. Now you're peeing in my ear, and I got to respond that it's not raining.
That sounds uncomfortable.
Okay.
I mean, you thought he was going to bring up Michigan when Andy Reid, and he brought it up from Al from Dallas. I mean, is this fantastic?
It's a similar thing. Like, you're like, I'm bringing up the Mets. No, the Mets are the ones bringing up this nonsense that it's their town.
Well, it started because you Yankees fans got so butthurt about the fact that the guy didn't want you.
How many games did the Mets beat get against the Dodgers in the LCS?
I know we were 4-0 against the Yankees last year. That sticks out in my
mind. Oh, that's what flipped the town.
It's everybody versus the Dodgers, and you know it is what it is. But yeah, I mean, I love salty Eisen. You know, I mean, I love it.
The Yankee tears, Al.
I love it. But yeah, you know, bathing in salty tears is always you know guys like TJ and myself, the greatest accomplishment.
So Al. You're in Dallas. I'm in Los Angeles, but we're the same. Okay, we're from the same place. Hold on a second.
Schadenfreude.
No, hold on.
You know, our middle names.
Excuse me, Al. Is New York a Mets town? Yes or no?
I have been on record on this show as saying it's not a Mets town.
Thank you. Thank you.
It soon will be.
Okay, and you are okay.
Oh, wow. Yes. Wow. I told you.
All right. Good to know. And you are not upset watching Saquon Barkley at all. It's you're just
listen. You know, like if we had Saquon Barkley, would we have the third pick in the draft? The answer to that question is no. He might have won a couple extra games. They were talking about it this morning in the morning show. So, you know, like, what are we going to do? Like, should we have traded him? Yeah, we should have. I mean, what we should have did was draft J.J. McCarthy. The Patriots are in the best position. They took the quarterback, and now they're sitting at the catbird seat. If one of those quarterbacks don't go 1 and 2, I mean, they're going to get overwhelmed with trade offers or get Travis Hunter. How great is this?
It's great, Al. Can confirm. Great.
Al, always great chatting and chopping it up with you.
And Jay, listen, guys, enjoy your week out there.
Thanks, pal. Super Bowl. Thanks, you got it. That's Alan Dallas.
We'll talk to you.
My stockbroker.
Is that right?
I go to him for advice now.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
How's he doing for you?
Doing pretty good so far.
Look at that.
He said hold.
Well, while we are, listen, if Al thinks I'm delusional and TJ thinks I'm delusional, while we're on the subject of me being delusional, here's my top five Pro Bowl events that I would still crush. Yes. Presented by Hyundai.
Let's
hit it.
See this.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
All right, as you know, it's no longer the Pro Bowl. It's Pro Bowl games. It's the Pro Bowl games.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a game night feel to
it's
it.
It's fun.
Some
I like
of them, it. You know, a lot of them do require physical exertion and talent. Some of them do not. There are a bunch of Pro Bowl events in the Pro Bowl games that I believe, if I was entered, if I was part of the Pro Bowl group, I would still crush. And here they are.
Let's go.
Number five on my list of top five Pro Bowl events that I would crush. Number five is the relay race, but only with offensive linemen or defensive tackles. As you notice, I've left defensive edge rushers out.
Sure, they're fast, twitchy. Right. Yeah.
Mount Cody. Remember when I used to run the 40-yard dash against BJ Raji as well? Mm-hmm. I used to have the simulcam with that. You know, I held my own.
It was close.
Even with a 5-yard head start. Offensive linemen as well. They would be, as every year I get on my text whenever I'm simulcammed or we watch any of those guys run 40-yard dashes slowly at the combine, I will invariably get a text on my phone from Warren Sapp saying, there's your pace car. So I'm going number five relay race, but only with offensive linemen and defensive tackles. I believe I would be very competitive. There's my daughter sitting next to Cage Brockman as well. And those green
Cage
shades.
Is literally on her lap.
There you go. Well, there you go. That's right. So very good. There's a visual evidence.
Another 40 in your suit.
Now, there's a Pro Bowl event called Big Spike.
Oh, this is new this year.
Right? Where the hardest spike.
Yes.
Mahomes did not show how to do it in real time.
That's
in the
event?
AFC Championship game. Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, yeah. So I would crush this, number four on the list, Big Spike, but only with kickers and punters. Okay?
Okay.
Only with four other individuals.
Got
the
it.
Two punters, two kickers. And notice I've left long snappers out.
Yeah, no, they're a little beefier.
You're right, correct. Yeah, uh-huh. So that's number four on this list. Okay. If you notice, I'm believing I'm competitive, but I'm
with a certain subset.
You know, the certain subset, yeah. Correct? Yeah. This one though, I'm including everybody, absolutely everybody. Doesn't matter who's in it. If you're a Pro Bowler and I'm with you, I'm dominating dodgeball, and with everyone. Okay. And the reason why is because I'm bringing a wrench. There you go. That's me.
3 Ds.
In dodgeball right there, bringing a wrench.
George Kittle referenced this last night.
Did he really?
Yeah, he was mic'd up, and they're like, how are you trading? He's like, you know the 5 Ds of dodgeball, and then where we've been trading.
See?
It was very fun.
George and I are, that's part of the reason why George, we're like this, man. He's on our show next week. I would kill dodgeball. In the same way, and this would warm me up for getting a point off of Carlos Alcaraz, as you know. If I hit somebody with a serve on a fly, I'd get a point in tennis. I'd just be warming up with a dodgeball. Pro Bowl games. Number two.
Pro Bowl games.
Number two. I would crush the actual flag football main event but only in the red zone. I would be a red zone threat.
Oh, wow.
And if you're sitting here going, Rich, what are you talking about? Well, then you don't know the history of this program. First ever Rich Eisen show from the Super Bowl. There I am, and it's a tip drill off of Rod Woodson. Okay, who threw it, too? Is it Kurt Warner throwing it? Rod Woodson?
Kurt threw it.
And I think, was that Michael Irvin as well on the pass pattern? We had a whole bunch of future Hall of Famers and Hall of Famers there. I caught a tip drill with Rod Woodson tipping it. So you don't think I can catch a ball in a Pro Bowl game, flag football game?
We were on a dude ranch, too.
You also went all season not dropping a pass.
By the way, all season long on NFL game day morning when I used to do the demo field segment. I've since tapped out of that because I just didn't like being everybody's McLovin out there. Okay, number one on the list is, and you know this, okay, it's called Helmet Harmony. But what it is it's kind of a game show. Mm. And so the game show competition, as you know, I've been born to give away cash and prizes. Yep. And even when in a situation where I can actually be a contestant for somebody else in the pyramid, I was going to give away $50,000 if the contestant didn't screw it up.
Yeah.
So those are my top five Pro Bowl games events that I would crush.
You think we need one more?
Why not?
All right, we'll get one more.
And I would crush the Madden competition and as myself. Let's not forget, in the last Madden, Pro Football Madden, in the NFL Madden 2K, whatever, last one.
You're in it.
You could play as me. By the way, Robert Saleh was the coach there, if you remember.
Your triceps were popping right now.
Of course.
What was that?
By the way, look at my ratings. The Jets would even trade for me. My ratings are so good.
Oh, Brick is all over this.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
So there's a Madden competition. I would dominate it and playing as myself.
What's 79?
There you go. Huh?
What's 79? What was it? It has to be speed. Go back. What's 79?
Was it catch?
What is it?
Whatever. My speed was actually like 60 something. This was somebody who kept playing using me and improving.
Stop. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at that. Right. Yeah.
Congrats.
Thank you. That's brought to you by Hyundai. Now you can buy a new Hyundai from the comfort of your own new home at Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. There aren't many other Pro Bowl guys. Did you see Orlovsky try on the throwing?
He still slings it.
Dude.
He scored as much as Drake May, I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, that is seriously tough.
Yeah.
Because it used to be when I was the host, if you will, the play-by-play voice with Marshall Faulk back in the day. We used to start, you know, on NFL Network showing the Pro Bowl competitions before the actual game. They used to have, you know, those big, huge targets.
Yeah, and they'd that put would chalk be, on the balls.
Right, it would be on the back of a golf cart, and they'd draw the golf cart, and they'd cue up, they'd put chalk on the golf ball like you would at the end of a cue stick.
Yeah.
And throw it at the, but that was just, you know, down the field, and it was field level. Wow. This is now way up in the rafters.
Yeah. There's a trivia element, too. So if you, they would ask trivia questions of your teammates, and if they got those right, you got more time added on, which is why Jared Goff had like 40-something points.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So you were watching this. I was watching it last night.
It was pretty fun.
I missed it.
Yeah.
I was too busy being a good father. All right.
Well, I was watching it with my...
Oh, no. By the way, this has nothing to do with you.
I mean, it felt like a shot.
Why would it be a shot?
It felt. Thank you, Jay. It felt like a shot. That's
all. You guys are really sensitive. You're accusing me of being sensitive.
Absolutely.
You're sensitive. You are sensitive.
Us.
You are sensitive. Or not sensitive enough to not know when CeCe Sabathia is ripping you.
No.
And you're like, thank you, CeCe. May I have another?
He wasn't ripping.
Please tell me how I'm a real sports fan because my team sucks so bad I'm getting credit.
Yeah, well, doesn't that make more sense, Chris, that if you hang around when times are hard, doesn't that make you a real fan?
That's true.
It's easy to jump off or it's easy to jump on.
Yeah.
Come on.
A lot of jumping.
Or How diehard? How tough was it being a fan of the Patriots for 20 years?
Oh man,
like, for a while.
I mean, there were kids who didn't see a parade for like 3-4 years. Like, it was tough,
right?
Yeah.
But you were still a fan. You were as diehard of a fan.
Still
as ever.
A fan. I was.
Like,
seriously, I
didn't accuse you of being less than a fan because your team kept winning. It's just like that's the point. That's the point. Your team wins, and you are enjoying right. the success for as long. You're not really getting credit for, well, you're sticking with your team for sucking so long.
Yeah. I mean, we had Mac Jones.
I don't sit here and say, being a Jet fan all that time, I deserve the credit.
You should have jumped off a long time ago.
Oh. I see the light.
It's still time.
It's never too late.
It's never too late to jump off.
Whose house? Right. Tom Pelissero going to join us next from the Senior Bowl. That's on this Friday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you should know you should check your draft stats first before you put them on your fantasy team. Or you should definitely check the expiration date on that can of bean dip you picked up at the gas station first before you dive in. Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. See Allstate.com for details. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois. Let's talk Sleep Number, people. In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game, or as you can tell right around these times, an entire season. So you gotta be on your game. Science proves quality sleep can help you boost your reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. So why not do it for yourself? I do it. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It is just 10 numbers apart, but being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out or for recovery, it's a game changer. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. And now, save 50% on the new Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Limited time. See store or sleepnumber.com for details. This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. Now, taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you're a first-time filer or didn't file with TurboTax last year. That's right. Just do your own taxes in the TurboTax app by February 18th. Had a few jobs last year? It's free. Have a lot of forms? Yep, still free. Have a bunch of new invisible crypto coins? Heads up, it's still free. Convinced you saw Bigfoot, even if your friends don't believe you. That has absolutely nothing to do with taxes, but you better believe it's still absolutely free. Just download and do your own taxes in the TurboTax app by February 18th. All tax forms, all 100% free. Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in-app by February 18th. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku Sports Channel, before the radio audience rejoins us, let's bring in Tom Pelissero right here on the program from Mobile, Alabama. Is that one of those curtains that you close with a rod, Tom? That you,
it is. I was talking to Hoskins off air, and we were trying to figure out how to make it not look like a crime scene. This was the best I could do.
Okay. Is there tape on the floor, Tom? I can't see. I had no idea.
If you saw the setup I've got in this room right now, like it's, you know, they sometimes now in hotel rooms, like they just don't give you a chair and a desk. There's like a circular table and a sofa.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I got a lot of things balancing right here, but you know what? We're making it work. What's up to my boys in the studio?
Ladies and gentlemen. Hey, what's up, Tom?
Tommy, what kind of hotel they got my guy staying at, bro? Like
a high class one, excuse me.
Well, not without a desk and a chair for my man. They don't.
Listen, let's just pop out the full screen. I think we can see the very bottom of the there's the curtain rod right there. You could see that plastic. There you go.
Oh yeah,
right there. There it is. You could see it.
That's a lot of curtain rods, actually. They give you bonus ones here.
Yeah, Tommy P, my mom is watching. What's up, Mom? She's happy to see you. She calls you the hair guy.
I appreciate that. There are definitely worse things you could call me.
And then I was like, Tom, his name is Tom. She goes, I know. She just prefers hair guy.
Okay.
Hi, Brockman's mom.
Yeah. Well, it's Mary.
Mary
Brockman.
Yeah, she's home hanging out.
Good to see you, Tom. How long have you been down there?
I've been down here since Monday. We did the practice shows the last 3 days, so like 4.5 hours on NFL Network. And now I'm prepping myself for live Senior Bowl coverage, 2:30 p.m. Eastern time, exclusively on NFL Network tomorrow. We got Oregon's Dylan Gabriel is going to play in the game. You get to see Jalen Milroe, Jackson Dart, a bunch of the quarterbacks who are potentially vying to be, you know, that third quarterback off the board behind Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. We've seen it a number of times through the years. Bo Nix last year, you know, played one series. He came in here as a borderline first-round pick. He ended up going number 12 overall. Guys like Justin Herbert, Christian Ponder, if you go way back, have really helped their stock in this game. So the fact that we're going to see these guys get out there and throw to a bunch of dudes they met like 4 days ago, it's always a little edgy in terms of getting that chemistry going, but it'll be a fun day, and looks like the weather's going to hold out, so it'll be great.
Tom Pelissero, NFL Network insider, in his usual Friday spot here on the Rich Eisen Show from Mobile, Alabama, and then he's going to hop a flight not too far to New Orleans, Louisiana, for coverage of Super Bowl 59 right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Is Brandon Graham have a shot to play in this game for the Eagles, Tom?
They're at least going to give him the opportunity. You know, that type of injury that he had, you know, that's normally a season-ending one. But, you know, it's been several months. And so the fact that they're even opening the practice window would be an indication that they at least think he's got a chance to be back. You know, I wouldn't think that he would do this just as some type of a, you know, conspiracy to fool the other team that Brandon Graham's going to get out there. You know, he's not going to play 70 snaps in the game, but let's see. You know, they got the bonus practices this week. They'll get into New Orleans. They've got all the way up until the day before the game to activate him. So it sounds like it's still, you know, a challenge for him to be able to get back. But the fact that he's even practicing is a, you know, a pretty good sign of his chances of going.
Well, last time the Eagles played the Super Bowl, as we all know, they faced the Chiefs in Arizona, and one of their coordinators left his bags there and stayed. And the question is Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator for the Eagles, just going to be moving into the head coach's office for the Saints, Tom?
Well, here's the latest I can tell you, Rich. We just reported this a few minutes ago. Saints GM Mickey Loomis called the other remaining candidates this morning and said that while there's no final decision, they plan to meet again with Kellen Moore after the Super Bowl. You're not allowed to talk to him this week. You're not allowed to talk to him during Super Bowl week. The soonest that this could happen would be February 9th is the game. February 10th is the next day. You know, with Gannon, that was a little bit different because they had not even interviewed him. There, of course, was eventually a tampering charge, and they gave up a draft pick for it here. But Kellen Moore, you know, had the initial Zoom. Then he had a meeting in Philadelphia, I believe it was Monday night. But basically how the Saints feel, from what I am told, is that they just didn't have enough time with Kellen Moore to, you know, reach a final decision. Having said that, Kellen Moore has been setting up staff and figuring out who's going to be coming with him. All indications are that he wants this job. And Mickey Loomis right now, if he wanted to hire Mike Kafka or Anthony Weaver or Darren Rizzi, he could do that. Kellen Moore is the one guy who can't be hired until after the Super Bowl. So you have to connect the dots a tiny bit on this, Rich, but I think it's fair to say all indications are right now that Kellen Moore is the top candidate for that job. And yes, quite possibly he's not going to need to get on a plane to head back after the game on Sunday.
And with all due respect to you and your reporting, and along with Ian's as well, I was connecting dots when I saw McCarthy say, you know, I'm focusing on next year. I mean, there's a job opening here, and one that he, you know, obviously knows this organization. That made it seem to me that he was reading tea leaves, that they were going to go in another direction. Cliff Kingsbury, similar. So, you know, listen, I know we all want to know something concretely now, but it sure looks like this is Kellen Moore's gig, Tom.
Exactly. You know? I would say that's a fair read on the situation, barring, you know, something catastrophic here. In terms of Mike McCarthy, it's a little different because Mike never interviewed for the job. I know that some people have misreported rumors about, you know, the talks went badly and stuff. They never talked. And Mike's known Mickey for a quarter century, since he was the offensive coordinator of the Saints back in 2000. They could have brought Mike in at any point and done an interview, but they kept kind of, I don't want to say stalling, because there was a snowstorm in there that changed the cadence and, you know, and those sorts of things here. But they never set it up. They never booked a plane ticket for Mike McCarthy. And at some point, you're sitting there and just going, this doesn't feel right. You know, the last thing that the McCarthy was going to do, because he did, you know, he took a run at the Bears job. And from everything I was told, that interview went really well. They just always had Ben Johnson. That was their number one candidate. They ended up paying what it took to get him. With New Orleans, there was going to be more of a conversation in terms of Mike McCarthy and even being interested in that job. And listen, there's challenges in New Orleans, whether it's the salary cap, the fact that you're locked in with guaranteed money into Derek Carr, you've got an old, expensive roster. You're granted in a weak division, one that you would think, you know, hey, this team is built to win now. When I say that, I'm not saying that like, oh, they got the best roster in the league. What I'm saying is you don't have a roster that looks like this, is composed like this, if you're not thinking we're winning in 2025. So, you know, for Kellen Moore, who's interviewed for several years now for head coaching jobs, it sounds like this is one that he is, you know, obviously intrigued enough to continue to go down the road on it. With regards to Mike McCarthy, I mean, we've talked about this before. You put his resume up against Mike Tomlin or Sean Payton, they look almost identical in terms of wins, playoff appearances, all have won one Super Bowl. For whatever reason, Mike McCarthy doesn't command that same level of respect in the media or among the fans. But absolutely, when you look at a cycle like this one where Mike Vrabel came back and Pete Carroll came back, I would anticipate that Mike McCarthy is very much in that mode. And with 7-8 jobs opening every year, I do anticipate he'll have opportunities coming up in 2026.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. Tom, you know, I don't know if you've heard the word chutzpah before, Tom. It's more from my side of the conversation than maybe yours. It means audacious or overly confident, self-confident, like, boy, somebody's got chutzpah. Did Liam Cohen really call the Bucs and ask for permission to speak to some other people to come with him? Did that really happen, Tom?
He has indeed, and probably what? Not surprising that the Buccaneers said no. We're not going to let anybody come for a lateral move. The way that this is set up in the rules, too,
yes,
is you can block. Technically, all position coaches are on the same level. The rules are a little bit different with quarterbacks coaches, but if you're an assistant offensive line coach or an offensive line coach, in terms of the anti-tampering policy and the hiring policies, those are considered on the same level. And so even when you request your assistant offensive line coach to come interview for your offensive line job, the Bucs can still say no. That's a guy who came with Liam Cohen to Tampa, and the Bucs are obviously just like, we're not going to help you in any regard here. Mm. With regards to the offensive line coach, Kevin Carberry, they did block him for a lateral move. There would certainly be a possibility somewhere along the line here that maybe they put in an offensive coordinator slip for Kevin Carberry. That would not be able to be blocked. But you already saw Cohen, you know, he locked up very late last night. Anthony Campanile, who's a well-respected defensive assistant, he's getting his first coordinator job and headed to Jacksonville here. The OC search is ongoing, but Liam Cohen also has already said, you know, he's going to be the play caller. He's going to be the primary voice on offense. You need a good OC even as a play-calling head coach because you need somebody to design the game plans. You know, it's a lot of that work is the OC's job through the course of the week here. So an important hire for Liam Cohen and one that looks like it's going to take a little bit longer.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Senior Bowl, similar to the combine, and the fact that there's just a ton of people there from NFL organizations who just love to talk, and the bars and the restaurants and on the sideline and in elevators, just like the combine, just with a more Alabama feel to it. What's the chitter chatter there about Brian Schottenheimer's hiring in Dallas, Tom? How's the league community taking that one in?
I think there's two sides to this. People who have worked with Brian Schottenheimer can tell you all about the positive traits that he has in terms of, you know, setting a program, you know, being demanding, having a good way with the players, building a culture. He's got all those types of things. But he's a first-time head coach who is, I believe, 51 years old and had been, as we know, a longtime NFL assistant coach and coordinator whose star seemed to have sailed, a couple of decades ago in terms of being a head coach. But, you know, the traits are there. And if Shoddy were 41 or 31 instead of 51, maybe we'd look at this through a little bit different lens. I think that the part that still surprises people here is that Jerry Jones really didn't run much of a search. He interviewed four people. Two of them had already been in the building. Shoddy, of course, was in the building. Kellen Moore was the other one that he spoke to. And then he brought in Robert Saleh and he brought in Leslie Frazier. which is not unlike back when he hired Mike McCarthy. And really, I think he only interviewed three people. He interviewed Marvin Lewis, Ron Rivera, and Mike McCarthy for that job. Jerry had a very, you know, specific focus on what he intended to do. And the more that I, you know, talked to people who had been around that building, the more they said, you know, people on the outside might be shocked, but inside it's not. Because Jerry didn't actually want to change anything. He wanted to keep the same offense. He wanted to, you know, continue the same culture. He liked that Schottenheimer had a good relationship with Dak Prescott. There were scenarios that were discussed with Mike McCarthy for him to stick around. But Jerry wasn't willing to invest in a commitment, much less a longer-term commitment, to keep Mike McCarthy in house. So Brian Schottenheimer, although I watched the press conference, I know he says he's going to do some things differently, and I have no doubts about that. But you know, they're really not overhauling things with a expensive, top-heavy, expensive type of a roster with Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb making top of the market type of money. Micah Parsons, that's going to be, you know, perhaps a battle that goes on this entire offseason with Micah and trying to get a contract done. There's various challenges that take place here for Brian Schottenheimer. I would also just say, Rich, you know, Jerry Jones has for years railed against excessive coaching salaries and coaching dead money. He has stood up multiple times at league meetings and excoriated his fellow owners about the money that they're wasting on coaches. I mean, you can go back 3 decades ago when he made comments along the lines of, you know, 500 different people could have coached this team to a Super Bowl. And that was part of the fissure that erupted between him and Jimmy Johnson. And he was proven somewhat right when Barry Switzer comes back to the sideline and goes and wins another Super Bowl here. This is a long-running thing for Jerry Jones. And again, that's not a shot at Brian Schottenheimer or his qualifications. It's just to say Jerry accomplished a couple of things here. One, he didn't change a whole lot. And number two, he spent less money and didn't have to get into a bidding war for all these top candidates to lock in a coach that he, regardless of what anyone else thinks, that Jerry Jones himself believes in.
But he didn't call Dion to ask him his opinion of Brian Schottenheimer, I'm sure. So
I think that was a mutually beneficial call, Rich. Well, I mean, we can call this what it is after the fact, which is Jerry Jones spent a day getting blasted from all corners of what in the world was going on with parting ways with your head coach 8 days after the regular season ended. And by that evening, Deion Sanders, who, by the way, was in contract negotiations with Colorado, his name happens to emerge that they had a phone call. That accomplished things for both sides. Deion got a little bit of leverage, got people thinking maybe that he might take the Cowboys job. And Jerry got the headline by the evening news to be Jerry and Deion talked and not Jerry just messed this up with a guy who won 12 games 3 years in a row before he got blasted by injuries and had everybody stressed out because they were all on contract years in 2024.
All right, so before I let you go, Tom, the chitter chatter as to who's going to be the first overall pick in the draft there in at the Senior Bowl is what?
You know, Daniel Jeremiah put out his first mock draft, and he had the Titans taking an edge rusher at number one overall. And I was talking to DJ up in the booth, and you know that, you know, he gets calls and texts from people around the league about certain things he puts in there. And he said, I got zero pushback on not having a quarterback at number one. Realistically, now, and I'm not speaking for everybody, there's a process here. We still got 3 months to the draft. You got the All-Star games. You got, you know, the pro days. You've got the combine. Like, there's a lot of steps in this process. But I would fairly say I doubt. I don't know for sure because I've not seen 32 draft boards. But I would strongly doubt that there are many, if any, teams that have a quarterback as the number one overall player in this draft. Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders are both probably going to be first-round picks based on everyone that I've spoken to here. I don't believe, based upon, again, the preliminary analysis and conversations I've had, that anybody's sitting there going they should go number one overall. We've seen many times through the years where those guys get pushed up. That well could happen again this year. But there are other position players who, you know, to paraphrase Chad Brinker, the president of football operations for the Titans, might be generational types of players that you don't want to pass up. I think all the teams that need quarterbacks up there in the top five, top 10, combined with a quarterback class where you don't have those surefire one, two, three, or in last year's case, six quarterbacks who are all top 12 picks. I don't know that we've got anybody who people would say deserves to be a surefire top 12 pick at that position this year. It lends itself a lot of variability in terms of how this is going to all play out over the next several months, which gives us a lot of fun stuff to talk about between now and Green Bay.
And obviously, you know, in between now and Green Bay, combine, free agency, new league year, and we're wondering who's going to be out there in the hopper at the quarterback spot. Should you not want to draft one, or you're interested in free agency? So Matthew Stafford announcing he wants to keep playing, what wheels does that set in motion, Tom?
Well, really what that now takes to is the Rams to say, all right, we all know that Stafford's not playing for, I think it's $27 million this year, which is really $23 because there was a $4 million roster bonus that was guaranteed. It is essentially part of his 2024 salary. So let's say it's $23 million. But regardless, Matthew Stafford's not a bottom of the starting caliber money type of a player. Last year, there was a contract situation that played out all the way up until training camp with Matthew Stafford. They ended up giving him a raise, and in turn, Matthew Stafford gave up his future guarantees, which made abundantly clear he was really on a year-to-year plan here. The next step in this is for his agent, Jimmy Sexton, and the Rams to figure out what does a new contract for Matthew Stafford look like. Is it a multi-year commitment? Is it a one-year commitment? If they can't come together on a deal, you know, is it possible that they could revisit the idea of trading Matthew Stafford? I'd certainly say anything's possible. I believe that the intention on all sides is for Matthew Stafford to be a Ram, but he's not playing for the numbers that's on the books right now. And with the number of other teams that are all going to be looking to solidify their quarterback situations as soon as possible, not draft weekend, Rich, not March 16th or whenever free agency begins, like ASAP, I would imagine that any calls the Rams are getting are going to be coming in the relatively near future here in the coming weeks while they're simultaneously figuring out what does a contract look like for a quarterback who, you know, won a Super Bowl in his first year in L.A. and, you know, down the stretch of this season looked a lot like the Matthew Stafford who's been one of the top QBs in the league for all these years.
And on What the Football with Susie Schuster, Amy Trask, one of the our pod here, last one for you, Tom. Susie asked Pete Carroll about the possibility of Russell Wilson winding up there, certainly if they draft a young quarterback. And he's like, well, I just got here and I anything I tell you would be just a guess. Is that feasible, do you think, Tom?
For Russell Wilson to go where?
Vegas.
I believe that that's certainly a feasible outcome, yes. And I know that there's been a lot of different things that have been written about Russell Wilson's relationship with Pete toward the end, obviously the relationship with the Seahawks toward the end. But, you know, knowing Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, they're both competitors. They won a lot of football games together. Pete Carroll, you don't hire a 73-year-old coach to say, like, we're just going to rebuild. We're going to start from zero and draft a rookie quarterback and go through lumps for a couple of years. Pete's going to be saying, we got to win right now. Does that involve Russell Wilson? Does that involve them going after another veteran quarterback? There's not a lot out there in terms of free agency. It's really Sam Darnold, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, and then the other quarterbacks who from the 2021 draft who didn't end up going back. Plus, you know, the Joe Flaccos of the world and stuff like that. I would fully anticipate the Raiders are figuring out something in terms of a veteran quarterback plan. They still got Gardner Minshew on the roster. They've still got Aiden O'Connell on the roster. Russell Wilson, you know, it looked pretty good for a couple of months during the season, Rich. Down the stretch during the losing streak, it looked more like the Russell Wilson we saw when he was, you know, slowing down during his time in Denver here. I just know, though, the way that Pete thinks, he's going to be thinking, like, I know how to win. I know the guy that I've won with here. I don't know that Russ ends up there, but certainly what looked like a one-team league for Russell Wilson in terms of back to the Steelers or where's he really going to go, there's at least one other team here that makes some logical sense as a potential landing spot.
Tom, we'll talk to you next week. See you in New Orleans, bud. Thanks for the time.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rich.
Enjoy the Tommy. You got to enjoy the Senior Bowl. Check it out Sunday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time on NFL Network. It'll be Tom along with Rhett Lewis and Daniel Jeremiah, Charles Davis, and the cast of thousands that's down there in Mobile, Alabama. All right, we will take a break, and we will take in everything that we just learned from him right there. Still to come right here on the program, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Your phone calls before we get out of Dodge, and also we'll let you know who's on our shows next week in New Orleans. For the moment, here's Marco Belletti with a sports update.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Welcome to the jungle, clones. It's the Jim Rome Show podcast.
The greatest and loyal fan base ever. You, the clones. It all starts with the jungle. We're in it to win it, and I'm in it to go as hard as I possibly can every day to make sure that you clones get the best possible product every single day. Day one, all in. Let's freaking go.
The Jim Rome Show. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Where did you take in the Super Bowl this year? Were you in Minnesota or were you not?
No, I had the opportunity to go to Minnesota, but we were in production on the series and I was still healing from a broken leg last summer.
Right.
So it seemed a little arduous, especially with the cold. And I like watching in the comfort of my home. I feel like you can analyze the game better. Live, it seems to go by so quickly. And I like to know the intricacies and nuances of who's hurt, whether they're coming back into the game, mm-hmm. all of those things that you kind of miss when you're there watching it live.
And so what did it mean to you? I mean, who did you call? What did it mean to you?
I was sitting with my 14-year-old son, watching the game throughout with only a couple of, I didn't want too many people because I didn't want distractions. I wanted only people, football-minded, focused people.
You're talking Brockman's language over there.
Yeah. I'm not going to one of those parties where you're explaining the game to casual fans or, like, you know, people don't understand the importance, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I watched it in my theater. And even with the broken leg at the end of the game, I'm jumping. I have video of that, and I left the ground. I was like 2 feet off the ground at the end of that game, and it's unforgettable. And also to have your son right there with you, and then we got on the phone with my dad back east and FaceTiming with him. My dad's got tears, and he's not the type of guy to cry, but he's been waiting for this moment for 70 years, you know. It's really special when it does happen. And the most emotionally affected I got was watching the parade, and Jason Kelce's speech was unbelievable.
With his mummer's gear? His mummer's
gear? Even before
gear?
They got to that, seeing the people of Philadelphia, knowing what it meant to the mentality of the city, to the future of the city in some ways, that really struck me. Just knowing how desperately the people wanted it.
You look like you're getting a little choked up.
I could if I talked about it
too
long.
By the way, he's got a little bit of a touch of the Vermeil right here.
He's getting
a touch of the Vermeil.
I'll take that. That's a compliment.
You touch of the Vermeil talking about your Eagles winning the whole damn
thing.
Hey,
next week,
yes.
I'm getting to go to the facilities and take a photo holding the Lombardi. My son and I are going to go.
Wow.
I cannot wait, man. I cannot. That is going to be all over Instagram.
Yeah, I was about to say. Tweet us a photograph.
I will
that.
Absolutely do that.
So you're going to go there and just hang. I guess it's kind of all quiet right now before everybody comes back together.
Yeah, they get back into the offices on the 9th. The trophy actually gets engraved on the 12th. And so we're going to try to see it on the 10th or 11th before they send it out.
Pre-engraving.
Yeah, pre-engraving.
Pre-engraving Lombardi hold.
They offered me the option to get one of the rings. It was a Philly special ring, mm-hmm. but it's meant to look like the real Eagles Super Bowl ring.
Well, the real McCoy is probably, it's a little bit more than whatever beer pong was had on the table last night.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Love it, man. Fun stuff for Ryan Phillippe back in the day. I wonder how he must be out of his mind right now. Philly's going to be in New Orleans? I should reach out.
There's Eagles fans that you like, TJ. I mean, come on.
Yeah, Carl Anthony Towns.
Cat, Ryan Phillippe, good dudes.
Do we know what's the Knicks schedule?
Oh, I think I had looked at this already.
They come here in March.
No.
No, but like next week.
Oh.
Let's see here.
No.
Oh, Saturday they're home for the Celtics.
And then?
And then they're off until Tuesday.
Oh, he's coming. He's coming. Don't you think?
Without question.
I know this is a big leap, but if Carl has the
discretionary income
to send him flowers and a mariachi band, he can get a PJ.
Yeah. And a couple tickets.
Making his way to New Orleans. He's not paying for tickets, I'm sure. Back on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Okay. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. John in Pennsylvania, John. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, John?
How's it going? Great show. I've been listening to you from London for 20 years.
Wow.
Back in Philly now.
Okay.
So next year, if Kellen goes to New Orleans, next year, Jalen Hurts' 10th year as a quarterback in college and football, he will have his 10th offensive coordinator.
Man.
Oof, wow. When we evaluate, we talk about teams and how having a new OC or DC is such a big shift. How come nobody ever talks about that with Jalen Hurts? Every single year, he has to learn a new system, and he gets evaluated the same as a guy that's had a great system for 10 years.
Well, John, guess what? I am interviewing Jalen Hurts tomorrow for NFL Game Day Morning's 8.5-hour pregame show the following Sunday, and I will bring this up to him and ask him about it. How does that sound, John?
Well, I know what Jalen Hurts will say. He'll say what he always says, which is, you know, it's not about my statistics and what I have to do. It's about winning. But I just think he, you know, here's a guy that has to learn a new system every single year.
Thanks for the call, John. That's an excellent thing to point out. But, you know, it's never easy for this guy anyway, is it?
No, it seems like his whole journey has been something like this, something to overcome, somebody doubting.
He is unbelievable. Jalen Hurts is going to start his second Super Bowl in 3 years. And if anybody had said that when he got benched for Tua, because that's the way he was born into the national consciousness. Nick Saban, quarterback.
Yep.
Benched in the national championship game, and the guy who goes in makes the throw of his life after taking one of the worst sacks we've seen, and that's one of our favorite Tua videos is him recounting Nick Saban's reaction to taking the sack to the point where he brought it up even after Tua threw that touchdown. that guy, who then, by the way, stays, winds up playing significant action the next year, then transfers, then goes somewhere where he gets himself in the position to be drafted in the second round to a team that already had a second overall pick and won a Super Bowl using the one seed that Carson Wentz had provided to Nick Foles. And that guy trying to win one for Philadelphia in his own right, and Carson Wentz is there, and Hurts reluctantly is turned to, I think. It took forever for Wentz to keep throwing interceptions and performing so poorly that they finally turned to Jalen Hurts. And that's the guy who breaks up the 18 quarterback string from Jim Kelly to him of first-time quarterbacks in the Super Bowl losing their game and never getting back. It's Jalen Hurts. He's something else, man. He is something else, and I cannot wait to talk with him as best I can to try and unpack this journey. But obviously, he's just focused on this game. And the other thing I can't wait to ask him is, what is it like to stand there, hand the ball to Saquon Barkley, and let him go and watch it? It's going to be fun. Uber Eats has the best deal on game day food no matter what you are craving. From 2-for-1 pizza to buy one, get one wings, Uber Eats has been dropping new deals each week all season long. Uber Eats is the official on-demand delivery partner of the NFL. Order right now for game day. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. We'll be joining New Orleans next week, and they with us when we come back on Roku, our guest list. Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast. You're also saying the record's going to go down.
I'm saying the record's going down anyway.
The guy.
I don't think you're off on this at all. Like, you're spot on here. I don't think this is an overreaction because we have no idea what we're reacting to. Come react or overreact with us.
Overreaction Monday. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
It's game over.
Over, man.